CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Josh Rogan, Global Opinions for the Washington Post, to help me understand the remarks these last days about the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, and what he may or may not have said to his opposite in the People's Republic of China's People's Liberation Army before and after the election of 2020. Josh, a very good evening to you. Your information points to not General Milley, but to then Defense Secretary Mark Esper for the origins of these phone calls. The phone calls are not being denied, but they're being explained. What is it that we believe Secretary Esper wanted to happen, and what is it that we believe Secretary Esper asked General Milley to convey? Good evening.
Well, good evening, John. You know, Washington was all abuzz this week with the leaks from the new book by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa called Peril, in which General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is quoted as telling his Chinese counterpart that if there was going to be an attack from Donald Trump against China, that he would give him a heads up. And that was blasted out into 100 different news articles on Tuesday. And by Wednesday, you had half of the Congress calling for General Milley to resign for treason, et cetera. And then on Thursday, it became pretty clear that actually the story was a lot more complicated than the initial reports. And what I was able to confirm, but was actually first reported by Axios, is that, well, actually the narrative that we were told, which is that, you know, General Milley was so concerned that President Trump was going nuts and might launch a nuclear weapon that he had to back channel to the Chinese leadership, wasn't really true at all. And in fact, what had happened was a much more mundane story where General Milley's boss, then Defense Secretary Mark Esper, made a decision on his own to send a benign signal to the Chinese that you know, that everything was okay and they wanted to keep lines of communication open. And then Esper actually did another thing, which is he delayed the deployment of U.S. Navy ships to the region, again, trying to cool tensions with the Chinese. And Esper was simply following his lead. So to present this as Esper's initiative, or Esper did this because Esper, I'm sorry, as Milley's initiative, or is just wrong. And, you know, what was kind of crazy about all of the coverage, and especially about that incident, is, you know, there's a reason that, you know, most of the GOP and the White House people in the Trump administration got so angry when they heard this, is because they weren't made aware of it at the time. And again, that was Esper's decision, not Milley's, but he didn't tell the White House. And that's because at that time, the White House and the Pentagon weren't talking to each other. They weren't on speaking terms. And so you can only imagine the diplomatic confusion that caused in Beijing. And, you know, we're sending two different messages, one from the Pentagon and one from the White House. And then all of that sort of gets garbled into our foreign policy as a reflection of the dysfunction in our government at that time. And then a year later, it gets garbled again as it gets leaked to Woodward and Costa for a book. And that just shows you that our foreign policy is becoming beholden to our domestic dysfunction. But it doesn't mean that Donald Trump was about to nuke China. I don't think that was ever really the case.
It reminds me, Josh, I think the game is called Telephone, which we play exactly. As children, where you whisper a word like howdy doody. And by the time it comes back to you, it's, you know, Cal Coolidge, you know, it's something completely strange. Does that work in Washington, telephone, to turn something into a story?
Right. But now imagine a game of telephone translated into Mandarin and passed through intelligence channels, you know, so it gets, you know, triply garbled. OK. And, you know, there's another aspect to this, which is that the reason that Milley and Esper were thought they needed to cool down tensions was because there was some intelligence the Chinese were concerned that Trump was going to do something crazy in his final months, you know. And they were trying to address that concern. But, you know, there were a lot of people inside the Pentagon at the time who thought maybe the Chinese didn't really mean that. Maybe they were testing us, and maybe they were trying to see if they complained enough if we would back down. And Esper certainly did back down in a way. And, you know, that undermined what the White House was trying to do. The White House is trying to keep up pressure. And, you know, so the only thing that that we really told the Chinese is that we didn't have our act together and that our government was totally divided. And that, even that, is information that they can use that's not good for us. So this is just a disaster in terms of messaging and signaling. It's as if, you know, telephone was being done, you know, without people actually speaking the same language. And, you know, that now we're trying to untangle that through leaks in a book that we haven't even read yet. And it's being used by both sides, being corrupted by both parties, actually, to advance their feelings about this guy named General Milley, who has become the most politicized general in our discourse, in our government, in our society. And for Democrats, he's the hero who saved the Republic from the Mad King. And for the Republicans, he's a guy who decided it was his job to be president, not the president. And that's not how it's supposed to work in a democratic society. And they both kind of have a point, and they're both wrong in a way.
This game of telephone has a predicate. It happened in June in Lafayette Square in front of the White House, and General Milley was involved. That you present was the source of the alienation between the Pentagon and the White House.
Well, that's exactly right. That's it. That June incident where, you know, Milley walked out, you know, into the crowd in his fatigues as the protesters were tear gassed, right? That was really embarrassing for Milley, okay? And then right after that, he made this video apologizing. And that was really, that really pissed off President Trump because, you know, Milley was essentially turning on him. And ever since then, they just hated each other. And so that's why they weren't talking to each other. But more broadly, you know, Milley got caught up in the politics of Trump. You know, it's really hard to not to when you're working at that level with a president like that. But in the end, he chose to go against Trump, probably because he knew that Trump was, or he at least was betting that Trump was going to lose, and he was still going to be there, and he was going to have to deal with President Biden, which is exactly what happened. But that's a lot. That's a political bet. That's not, you know, the Joint Chiefs Chairman's job. He's supposed to be giving advice to whoever the president is, no matter what party there is, and taking orders from that president, full stop. So there's a lot of feeling in Washington on both sides that General Milley got too big for his britches, and that, you know, perhaps it, you know, he's so politicized in a way because he was playing politics.
The puzzle, Josh, when I heard the first reports, and I've learned that, as you know, over the years, the first three reports are always wrong. So wait. That's good advice no matter what the news is, but if it's too good to be true, it is. Okay. The puzzle, though, was the second phone call, which we were told happened the day after January 6th. Is that accurate to your knowledge? January 7th was the second phone call?
Right. So it's a really important the timeline because those first calls where he's warning the Chinese general that he's going to save, you know, us from a nuclear war that Trump's going to start, that was in October. That was before the election. That was the one that follow the Esper initiative. After the election, Esper got fired. Chris Miller came in. He was seen as a Trump acolyte. And again, Milley made another call after the January 6th riot just to say, hey, not just to China, by the way, to people in lots of different countries, to say, hey, don't worry. I know what you're seeing on your TV screen is looks really messed up, but it's going to be fine. We're going to steer this ship. Right. And again, there's a good faith argument to be made that that's what he should have been doing, right? There, people can disagree about whether or not that was even a controversial thing to do. The point is that he wasn't telling the White House about it, and that's why there was such deep-seated mistrust. And then the way the book portrays it, apparently, even though I haven't read the book because it hasn't come out yet, but according to the reports about the book, it takes it to another level where, you know, puts it into the context of the Joint Chiefs Chairman sort of talking to the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the CIA director, who all come to this idea that, oh, wait, we've got to stop, you know, Donald Trump from a military coup. But was that even true? You know, was there a military coup in the offing? There was a lot of shenanigans going on at the White House, but I never saw any signs that Donald Trump was about to attack China. I don't think that was really the case. So you have to ask yourself, you know, did General Milley go too far? And now that he has been super politicized, can he do his job effectively? I think that's what a lot of people in Washington are thinking right now.
We're told that General Milley will speak to Congress on the 28th of September for more clarification. Josh Rogan, writing Global Opinions for The Washington Post. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.